Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Captain Hunter's Podcast. Thank you so much for taking this ride along with me and with us. I hope that you truly are enjoying the journey and that you're learning something. I opt to try to get feedback from people and ask if they listen to the podcast and what they think about it. Everyone's telling me that they loved it, that it is very informative. So I appreciate that. I truly do. I want to give out some good content. One of the main reasons I started this podcast is because I saw so much content on different YouTube sites and different podcasts, and I didn't think all of it was positive. A lot of stuff out there is obviously good information, and a lot of it is simply entertaining, and a lot of it, of course, is strictly political, continuing to further divide our country. And I thought to myself, well, what can I do in order to make situations better, in order not to divide, but to bring the communities together? As I've often said, I'll continue to say that there is such a divide between the police officers in the communities that they're supposed to be protecting and serving. There's a serious problem with this when people who are members of the community do not feel safe enough to call the police, or do not feel safe when they're being pulled over by the police. Someone drives by a police officer on the highway, they get anxious, their heart starts to race and things like that. And that's because they don't know what's going to happen. Same thing when the wigwags and the blue lights start flashing behind you. So many people get nervous, anxious, heart starts to beat fast, palms get sweaty, and all these different emotions come in their mind because they don't know what's going to happen. And of course, we understand that a particular segment of this population, this happens to more often than other people. So that just is what it is. And I want to really try to do what I can in order to try to alleviate the stress on the citizens' part, as well as help the officers do everything within their power to make sure that the interaction and that their communication goes well. So today's episode, I really want to talk about, do you have what it takes? Now, we understand that, I'm taking a lot of things for granted. When I say we understand, I'm taking some things as just innate, as a matter of fact, that everyone should automatically know. Maybe you know, or maybe you don't know what I'm talking about, but I think that some of these things are pretty well established. So the question we're asking today is, do you have what it takes to be a police officer? Do you have what it takes? There's so many viral videos going on out here, so many news articles that we read constantly about negative interactions between the police officers and the public. One of the strategies that people are developing in order to diminish these negative interactions is for police reform. And I'm all for that. We're all working on that. That's great. There's many organizations, LEAP, Law Enforcement Action Partnership, the NAACP, and numerous other organizations who are all trying to work towards a common goal of police reform. There's drug policy reform, drugpolicy.org, I think is another organization or another format or forum or website that people can go to in order. So one of the reasons that I really wanted to talk about this is because I really wanted people to understand that there's more that can be done in order to achieve this more of a positive interaction between officers and the community which they're serving. And I want to simply ask the question is, do you have what it takes to be a police officer? Instead of criticizing, instead of looking down upon, instead of writing articles, instead of writing blogs, what is it that you can do in order to help the problem? And one of the biggest things you can do is join them. Join the police department. If you think that you know what the job is, what it entails, and how it can be done, and how it can be done better, then go for it and do it. Show us the way. Show them the way. How the police officers and police departments can be done better, and how they can achieve the status and achieve the goals and achieve the police legitimacy and police trust that we so desperately want. So that's the reason for this podcast, number one overall, and that's the reason for this episode. I'm asking you, specifically, you, the listener, do you have what it takes? If you're not a police officer, or even if you are a police officer, are you still abiding by the things that we're going to talk about today? Are you a supervisor who is abiding by the thing today? Are you encouraging other people to enter into a law enforcement, as we're going to discuss today? So let's get into it. So I really want to talk about some of the negative things that we've seen so many times in police departments. As I mentioned earlier, that there's some possible negative interactions, negative feelings, negative emotions when people simply see a uniform, simply see a cruiser, whether parked on the side of the road, parked on the highway, doing traffic enforcement, when they are about to be pulled over and they see the blue lights behind them. So what is it that we can do? We've seen so many negative media outlets that are focusing upon the negative behaviors and bad behaviors, and oftentimes criminal behaviors, of officers. We've seen it with USA Today has done, when they published more than 85,000 police officers who've had some type of disciplinary process brought against them. Now, to be fair, just because a disciplinary process being brought against someone does not mean they have been convicted or found guilty or found to have those charges against them sustained. So I think that the USA Today really should do a little better job reporting those particular situations, because just because an officer has an allegation made against them doesn't mean it was found to be true, doesn't mean that the allegation was sustained. So they really ought to do a better job with their analysis of that. We've seen different Facebook posts who have been revealed, different Facebook groups, from the RevealNews.org has revealed some stuff. Plainview Project has revealed officers in 8 different police agencies. So you guys can check out all that kind of stuff. I talked about this numerous times in previous podcasts, social media outlets. You can Google that, social media and police officers and all the different negative interactions, different negative groups. I've talked about the Border Patrol, 1015 group, secret Facebook group that was presided over and was, well, not presided over, but a member of that group with Carla Provost. She was actually a member of the group where they used racist, insulting, homophobic memes targeted at the very immigrants who they were supposed to be detaining at the border and things like that. So all of this has cast a very serious light upon law enforcement overall and generally. There's another news article which I may want to talk about. Matter of fact, I will talk about with the situation that's going on in LA with the LA County Sheriff out there, Alex Villanueva. This is from the LA Times. What exactly is happening with new LA County Sheriff? Let's just read through a little bit about this from the LA County Times. His agency, LA County Sheriff Alex Villanueva, is an extremely powerful man. As the county's top cop, he oversees the largest sheriff's department in the world, as well as the largest jail system in the country. He is an agency with a $3 billion budget and roughly 16,000 employees. It's also an agency that has weathered more than its fair share of distinction and internal turmoil, including jail abuse scandal, annual criminal convictions for former Sheriff Lee Baca and several other top deputies. Villanueva has mounted controversies since being sworn in as a county's 33rd sheriff less than a year ago. He has reinstated troubled employees who have previously been fired, attacked his predecessors, jailhouse reforms, and come under fire for his continued role of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement in the county jail system. The FBI is investigating a secret society of tattooed deputies in East Los Angeles, as well as similar gang-like groups elsewhere within LA County Sheriff's Department. The issue of deputy gangs far predates Villanueva's ascent, but the inquiry marks the return of federal law enforcement authorities tasked with digging around the Sheriff's Department. I'm not going to continue reading with that. So LA Times has already did a story that the feds are now looking into what's going on in this county as far as their police officers. He's reinstated deputies. There's a lot of links on here. The TYT, the Young Turks Network, showed a video of one of the officers who was fired. He was fired for stalking. He was a deputy himself. He was dating another deputy, female deputy. He was stalking her, trying to break into her house. She filmed it, took him to court, and did everything she had to do. This man was then fired. His termination was upheld by a civilian review board from the LA County. And what does this man do when Villanueva gets in office within the last year? He reinstates this man. The issue of deputy gangs, these different subgroups and divisions and gangs within the LA County, is not new under the Villanueva's watch. However, it seems as if he is doing very little to do anything about it. This is a troubling story. Here's another story from the LA Times. LA County Sheriff's Watchdog might gain subpoena power for investigating deputy gangs. It's a group called the Bandidos, a gang inside of the LA County. The Bandidos. They're terrorizing people, planting drugs on people, stealing drugs, stealing cash. If anybody remembers that show from a long time ago, The Shield, I mean, this is just what's going on out there. So just crazy. And this story was from July 23rd, 2019 by Maya Lau from the LA Times that I just read. The previous story, also published, was July 23rd by Julia Wick, another staff writer for the LA Times. So LA's got some problems. Another article from LA Mag, LA Times Magazine, LAMag.com, meets Sheriff Alex Villanueva, the Donald Trump of law enforcement. This was published July 19, 2019. So obviously, LA Times has been all over. Numerous writers are writing about what's going on with this county, with this LA County, Alex Villanueva. Another article, just to be clear with this and just to be fair and try to get both sides. This is LAIST.com, LAIST. LAist.com. This was published June 26, 2019. It says, LA Sheriff Villanueva toughens his policy and deputy clicks. Will it solve the problem? Some of these clicks were refusing. If you're a member of this click, or and you didn't play by the rules, or if you're not a member of this click and you also tried to play by the rules, if that makes any sense, they refused to answer calls for backup and everything like that. So this was written back in June. But there's a problem going on out there. And this is this problem that we see, that people taking sides, people playing favorites, roaring around in gangs and cliques with inside police departments, is a problem. It becomes a problem when they refuse to back up other officers. It's a problem when they take out their frustrations and their anger and they cheat and rob from the people, from the drug dealers. When they beat people, plant drugs and evidence on people, and take extra judicial means of going about their job. So this is a problem, and very extremely problematic. So I hope that the sheriff really turns his act around. One of the also things that he's doing, he was running on a program of being extremely progressive as far as his policies. And he, in fact, during his campaign, said that he would get ICE out of his LA counties. Well, according to some of these articles that I've read, not only did he did actually kick ICE physically out of the building, but he would have them right outside so they could deport, they being ICE. So the sheriffs would take someone into custody and walk them into the front door and walk them out the back door to ICE. And this negated essentially the spirit of what voters there were voting for when they were voting in a sheriff. This is very problematic, and I certainly hope that they figure it out. But this, my point in saying all this is that there's always these negative stories, always these negative viral videos that are going on. But I want to know if you have what it takes. Do you have what it takes to look at some of the stuff that's going on and not be a part of the problem, but a part of the solution? And if we're going to be a part of the solution, then a part of that solution is, yes, criminal justice reform, police officer reform. Yes, we get that. But the other side of it is, we need good officers. We need people who are going to step up and say no to criminal behavior, criminal conduct. Going to step up to say, no, I'm not going to be part of any kind of clique or gang or group on Facebook or in real life or on social media or in real life that does not uphold the constitutional standards that we set out to enforce. And so that's what I want to know today. Do you have what it takes? And do you know someone who has what it takes? If you do, then great. Then join the department. There are numerous departments. Let's just dig into it a little bit. There are numerous departments, Seattle, New York, Chicago, who are all advertising constantly for police officers. Not only are they advertising for police officers, they're doing it throughout the country. So they're not just being isolated to their one local locale. They're looking for officers, potential officers throughout the country. NPR did a story, and they actually went to a place right down the street. They went to New Haven, Connecticut, as well as other police departments around the country. And they talked to a number of different people, and they talked to a number of different officers as far as their recruiting process. Many departments are really seeing this downswing in the officers who want to join the department. It's always been a fairly well-paying job. However, within recent times, with the economy doing so well, some people are actually blaming it, blaming the lack of recruiting, blaming the lack of potential candidates on the upturn in the economy, and they can get other jobs. This may not be true. This is what some people are estimating. So there's a recruiter. His name is Undersheriff Jeff Morey. This is from the NPR.org. This is from 2018. The name of this article is America's Growing Cop Shortage, in which many of these people are talking about the recruiting problem. The severity of officer shortage varies from department to department. But the national trend is clear. Since 2013, the total number of working sworn officers has fallen by about 23,000. The number of officers per capita is down even more sharply, from 2.4 per 100,000 in 1997 to 2.17 per 100,000 in 2016. Recruiters blame the hot job market, as well as greater skepticism about law enforcement as a career choice. That skepticism has grown in the past few years, fed by viral videos of controversial incidents, use of force by police, where hundreds of people used to apply for a job opening. Now it's often only a handful. It's become more like recruiting a football team, says Undersheriff Jeff Morey of Oregon's Washington County. His agency is short about 55 people and relies heavily on mandatory overtime to cover all the necessary shifts. His seeking out enough new recruits is a full-time preoccupation and has pushed the agency to change some of its requirements. We now allow facial hair, Morey says. We allow tattoos. We allow earrings. The sheriff's office will even hire people who admit to past use of marijuana since the drug is now legal in Oregon, though they're not allowed to use it once they've been hired since it's still illegal under federal law. He also says that some of the expectations have changed. I don't know if they want to be cops as much as the previous generation, he says, adding that those who are interested are looking for a kinder, gentler version of the job. So that's what Jeff Murray had to say in other articles that I read. It talks about this idea of recruiting and it being a full-time job and almost having to recruit like a football recruiter, where football recruiters recruiting for colleges not only talk to the prospect player, but they go and talk to the family. And the reason that they have to go and talk to the family is because they want to make sure that everybody understands what the job entails. It's not as dangerous as people think it is. It's actually a very rewarding career and all this kind of stuff. So the recruiter will come and talk to the family and try to talk them out of their skepticism and pessimism about law enforcement. So I think that that's actually a good idea. And I think that probably more recruiters need to do that, particularly as time goes on. But there is certainly a serious problem. Let me just talk about this particular skepticism in viral videos and this perception. This is from the Washington Post. The name of this article is "Who Wants to Be a Police Officer? Job Applications Plummet at Most U.S. Departments." This article was published 2018, written by Tom Jackman. Further down in the article, it says, "The videos of police misconduct and fatal shootings have damaged the perception of American police officers, but not irrevocably," said Antoine Archer, Director of Human Relations for the Police Department in Richmond. "Many people are taken back by the brutality, not by the profession," she said. "If we can be inclusive of women and people of color, those individuals who can see a part of their fabric in their community will come forward. If the environment is not inclusive, you're going to lose them." So continuing on with this negative perception concerning viral videos, this article goes on to say, "A recent survey of 800 college students majoring in criminal justice found that they didn't have the misgivings often cited by longtime cops," said Charles Shear, a criminal justice professor at the University of Southern Mississippi. "They're not afraid of increased scrutiny. This generation expects social media and scrutiny. They're not afraid of police perception." He said African-American students were often deterred by family members who were not too hot on the idea of a relative becoming a cop and misunderstanding of how often officer-involved shootings occur. Shear suggested a college football-style recruiting approach where an applicant's whole family is wooed. That's where I got that information before. Now, let me just talk a little bit about African-Americans. I'm gearing this towards all members of the community, so that's not just a black-white show, but it's about all communities. But I want to talk in particular to the black community just for a little bit. This is from the Chicago Reporter. Chicago has had a long-time problem with police perception. And this article, ChicagoReporter.com, "More African Americans apply to become cops, but few make it to the finish line." In 2017, police departments hired whites and Latinos at rates more than double that of African Americans, who made up 17% of the total 1,126 new hires. A little bit further down, of more than 8,000 black applicants, nearly 30% didn't show up for the written entrance exam, first step in the recruitment process, while 17% failed the test, according to data analyzed by the reporter. Many applicants who passed the test later dropped out of the process, which includes an extensive background in physical and psychological and drug tests. So this is a problem. Black potential officers, black candidates are not interested. If they are interested, they're not showing up for the written. And when they do show up, they're not passing the test. So this goes back to something that happened in the presidential debate with Pete Buttigieg. Now, this is not a pushing for Pete. However, I just want to talk a little bit about what he said during the presidential debate that happened before when he talked about how he was not able to hire enough black officers. Listen, it's not his job. First of all, they put out the invitations. They put out the recruitment materials. They put out the test. They reached out to do whatever they had to do in order to get black officers to A, sign up. But they can't force you to come to the written. They can't obviously take the test for you and make sure that you pass the written. So this is a problem right here. So it's not Pete's fault, even though it's refreshing to see someone take stock, someone to take ownership as a leader, as Mayor Pete did. It's not his fault that black officers are not on the department. So he can't blame himself. Further down in the article, "More black applicants, but not just black officers. Historically, the Chicago PD has had a hard time recruiting black officers, who are 23% of the force in the city, whereas about one-third African American." Further down, it says, "Rahm Emanuel hired the Brown Farmer Media Group in November 2016 to oversee the recruitment, which was part of the city's effort to hire 1,000 officers by the end of 2018. During the months-long campaign, the department received more than 16,000 applications, 33% were individuals who identify as African American, according to police officials. At the same time, the superintendent, Eddie Johnson, was ecstatic about the recruiting numbers. Since 2016, of the 990 people recommended for employment, 13% are African American, 37% are white, 38% are Latino. One of the main reasons, as we'll get to in this article by the ChicagoReporter.com, says candidates are self-selecting out. So let me just read a little bit about this. It's hard to pinpoint any single reason that blacks are dropping out of the process, but some critics say that the process is too slow and weighted to candidates who have family members who are on the force or the backing of legacy officer associations. Two associations, Latin American Police Association and the Puerto Rican Police Association, work closely with Latino candidates who have a dropout rate 7 percentage points lower than blacks. Black applicants need more of a support system throughout the application process, according to Tracy Ladner, former director of the Chicago Police Department's Human Resources Division. You have to have that support group off the job as well as the support group you have from being on the job. The 2013 recruitment year, the only class for which the department keeps records, that year, 4,325 African Americans applied for the job. Of that number, 1,050 did not show up for the exam and 813 failed it. So this is not the fault of white people. Ladner says black recruits are self-selecting out for a variety of reasons. The process can take years and many candidates simply move on to other opportunities. With historically fewer African American officers, there are not as many legacy families to usher in young recruits. So this is the problem that's going on. Number one, they're not interested. Number two, when they do get interested, the process takes too long. They're not showing up for the tests. They're failing the tests. Later on, it goes on to talk about the physical requirements. Charles Wilson, chairman of the National Association of Black Enforcement Officers, said pre-screening exams have been used to discriminate against black recruits. So I don't agree with that statement at all. I don't agree with that statement. This is what he said, National Association of Black Law Enforcement Officers. I don't agree with that statement at all, but this is his statement. They bang us out on the agility exam, he said. We do not typically go into the exam being fit and ready. We go out to the yard and shoot hoops, but we don't get into the idea of doing a daily run. Our counterparts are heavily into that, so they are more prepared for the agility exam. How is that geared towards them? As the director of the Human Services Department said, you need a legacy group to encourage you to do that. So encourage black officers, black candidates to go out for a daily run and stop just shooting hoops in the backyard. Get down there and do those push-ups. Get down there and do those sit-ups. Bang them out. So this is not something that's geared towards this. So I don't agree with that. Alderman Anthony Beal in the 9th Ward said the hiring process systematically excludes minorities. The biggest issue is the background check, which really wipes out minorities. Listen, we got to understand the process. So this is what my business is. It's going to be helping people to understand the process. It's going to be helping people to understand what's going on here. We can't continue to cry wolf. We can't continue to cry wolf because there is no wolf at the door in this particular situation. Get out there and do the push-ups and sit-ups. If we think that the background is getting us, if it's getting us on marijuana, if it's getting us on, and as this article goes on to say, marijuana gets us. So people are being excluded from marijuana. People are being excluded for trying cocaine. People are being excluded because they have poor work histories as African Americans. People are being excluded because they are in debt a lot of times, right? Your credit checks are often run on people. And if you have bad employment history, then you will have bad credit. And then because you have bad credit, that may exclude you from being entering into law enforcement. So we got to understand this from the time the kids are 7 and 8 years old and start grooming them for careers, period. And careers in law enforcement, careers in the fire department, careers as doctors, careers as lawyers. You got to get people to understand the value of their credit. Got to get people to understand the value of working out. You got to get people to understand the value of keeping a job and holding a job, and not just going off on your boss and quitting your job and walking out. And if you don't understand these things, we're never going to be able to compete in any type of market. So stop crying about this kind of stuff and get yourself together, get ourselves together. These legacy groups, as mentioned, the Hispanic have a legacy group and only get more police officers there. And we can see that their numbers were actually more than were hired for white applicants. If you remember the numbers that I read off, 37% were white and 38% were Latino in Chicago PD of all those officers that they had. So let's get it together, black people. Let's get it together. Knock it off with this nonsense. So let me ask you again, do you have what it takes? So those are a few things. So let me just go through what I think that it takes in order to be an effective and efficient police officer. First thing I want to talk about is the morality. I mentioned before about these different groups and gangs. and different Confederate sympathizers that are going on in these police departments. The Real Deal News, the Plainview Project exposed Facebook posts. The Border Patrol by NPR revealed more problematic Facebook posts and what's really going on. So people have to take their oath seriously, and that is not being done. People are joining the department for nefarious reasons. White supremacists are joining police departments for nefarious reasons to get access to guns, weaponry, access to information, access to urban warfare and tactics. So this is why they're doing it, joining the military and as well as joining police departments to get access to all this stuff. Have a positive, moral, upstanding reason for wanting to become a police officer. Here's just a morality clause that I read in one of the police departments as I was researching for this episode. This certain police department is searching for qualified individuals who want to join our law enforcement team. If you can apply your life experiences and education to communicate effectively, solve problems, and resolve conflicts, you may be what we are looking for. We seek individuals who can enforce the law impartially, promote our constitution, and are willing to work with the citizens to improve the quality of life in this city. Our organization has a long history of professionalism and providing the best services to the citizens of this city. That's what is in their job announcement and publication when they're looking for police officers. In New York City, here's some of the disqualifiers. Candidates will be disqualified if they have been convicted of a felony, domestic violence misdemeanor, or have been dishonorably discharged from the military. Candidates may also be disqualified if they demonstrate a history of disrespect for the law, a tendency towards violence, termination from a job for poor behavior, or not adjusting to discipline. Right, if you have any of these type of problems, then don't bother signing for the NYC. This is a disqualifier from my very own city where I was formerly a police officer at. Applicants must be physically and medically capable of performing the essential functions of position with or without a reasonable accommodation for which application is made. A pre-employment post-job offer medical examination will be required for certain positions. This will, for given positions, include a drug screen for usage of an illegal narcotics. If a candidate refuses to submit to this examination, it shall be deemed as an incomplete medical examination and as a voluntary withdrawal from consideration for employment with the city of Waterbury. That's part of their. So let's just talk about the qualifications and ask yourself as you listen to this podcast, are you or do you know someone who's qualified for this? Based on the moral, physical requirements and drug policies that I just read off, does anyone qualify for that? Do you qualify for that? More qualifications, do you possess a high school diploma or GED? Right? This is the educational requirements. Most police departments throughout the country, you only need a high school diploma or GED. More and more departments are leaning towards college diplomas, college degrees. I personally think that no less than an associate's degree should be required with the high information technology age that we're living in and continuing to enter into. High school diplomas are not enough anymore, and you may need an associate's degree. I've corrected and had to analyze police officer reports, and this is a problem. People cannot write straight. They're using the wrong verbs and wrong theirs. T-H-E-I-R is the one that shows possession, and T-H-E-R-E is the one that shows position and space and time. I think that the more education that you have, the better you will be able to do your job. Do you have what it takes? Are you a citizen of the United States? For obviously. Good moral character and habits. A lot of people are being disqualified, right? We've seen a lot of people who were saying they had good moral characteristics and habits, but are failing this when it comes down to it. A criminal background process will be done. This is eliminating a lot of people, as I read to you from the Chicago Reporter down there. It's eliminating a lot of people, their pasts and their backgrounds and their job applications and their conduct in the military and their conduct on job is getting them. It's getting them out. You must have a valid motor vehicle license with a good driving record. You got it. All those speeding tickets that you get, all those parking tickets that you refuse to pay, that's tripping people up. All those taxes you refuse to pay, it's tripping people up. You have to be 21 years old to be a police officer. In many places, because of the long testing process, you can take the test at 18 and 19 years old. Take the test at 18 or 19. Spend the next few years going to a community college, working on your associate's degree, staying out of trouble, developing and working on your driving history, working on your criminal history, working on your credit. If you have any issues on your credit, any issues with taxes, any issues with motor vehicles, work on all that kind of stuff while you're in the process. So if you want to go for the test, most tests, and this is not going to be any particular order, it's usually with the written exam as the first part of it. Next will be some type of physical agility, physical exam. It would be some type of oral interview. during all this time, there'd be a background process. You have to take a polygraph test, a psychological test, a medical test, and then probably another physical agility test prior to entering any type of police academy. You also have to take a drug test. Those are the qualifications. That's what it takes. Once again, I want to stress this good moral character. People are washing out and being dropped out of the process because of their criminal histories, because of their financial histories, going through bankruptcy, because of their drug use. Many of the police departments are excusing marijuana because it's becoming more acceptable. But if you're trying cocaine or heroin or any kind of those hard kind of drugs, then you're going to be excluded from the process. And as these legacy groups are involved from the beginning of the process until the end of the process, then other groups need to get hip, get savvy, and get other people involved in the process. One of the articles that I read talked about the lady, the officer in Richmond, who said that she wants more women. Essentially, she wants more women and give minority and wants to provide this inclusive type of environment. And if you're not going to get that type of inclusive type of environment, then you're going to have problems with recruiting and retention. People are going to come to your department and they're not going to stay because of the lack of inclusive environment, because of hostility, racial and work hostilities and things like that. So that's what it is. So I don't want people out there complaining about the problems. Join the police department. Join them. Become a part of the solution, not part of the problem. Become a part of the solution, not part of the problem. Part of the problem is that we need criminal justice reform, yes, but we need good qualified applicants, good qualified officers to patrol our streets, to change the culture of police departments. If you think that the culture of your police department is rugged and rough and anti, then join the department, become one of them, and try to do the best that you can to move up the ranks and change the culture of the department. Refuse to go along with any type of internal type of gangs or whatever they got going on with the LA County sheriffs out there. Refuse to be a part of that and show them the way. Be strong enough, be man enough, be woman enough to do the right thing, to not plant drugs, to not falsify reports, and to engage with your public and with the community. Do you have what it takes? Do you know someone who has what it takes? Encourage them to listen to this podcast. Encourage them to apply for their local police department. Go in and talk with the police departments. I would also say with the police departments, part of your recruiting process, make sure that you are going out there and engaging with the community and talking to and with family members, particularly those who are suspect about any member joining law enforcement. Let them know how often police-involved shootings occur. Go through some of the statistics about how often police shootings occur, how often officers are actually injured in the line of duty, how often and how actually rare that it is. Go through all the statistics with them and let them know that this is a good job and it's a good career. It's a good job and it's a good career. And we need more law-abiding, good morally upright citizens to take this job. More females we need to take this job. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Ask yourself, do you have what it takes? I hope that I went through something today. I hope I read something. I hope I said something that will encourage you, that will spark your attention, and get you to think reasonably about your future of our country, our states, and our cities. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, take care. Bye.